Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate.
I would encourage you this morning to be turning in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. As you are turning there, I want to recount for you an experience of my life. I imagine I was 13 or 14 years old at the time. That's some 25, 26 years ago now. And I picked up the sport of bow hunting. It was around this time of the year, every year when hunting season would come in. If you bow hunt, you'd have the opportunity to spend an extra month in the woods. And so I wanted, like some of my friends, to have that opportunity. And as I look back at that experience in that day and time to where archery has come today, there have been many innovations that have changed the sport of bow hunting tremendously. For instance, back in the day, most of the bows were recurves. Today, they are compound bows. Sometimes people even have crossbows today. The technology has changed dramatically in both the type of bow you shoot and also the material that it is made of. The recurve bows of old were made mostly of laminate wood. Now they're made of lightweight aluminum. And as you imagine, that's stronger and allows for a speedier bow. As you think about the sights that were used, I broke in using a good old iron type of sight. Today we have sights that are fiber optic sights that gather a good bit of light towards the dusk hour, the dawn hour when hunters will be in the woods. Sometimes you may even in certain states have laser sights, have a sight on your bow where a laser will shoot to from the bow to your target. Today we shoot not aluminum arrows for the most part, but carbon arrows. Arrows that are much straighter and much more durable than the arrows of old. And the old broadheads of old, which most of them had three or four blades, some of them still are used today, but more people use mechanical broadheads. I could go on and on this morning and just simply say, there are many innovations in the last 25 years that I have seen come and go in the sport of archery. But there is one thing that has remained the same. A bow hunter 30 years ago and a bow hunter today is seeking ultimately to take an arrow and to put it into the target. That part has not changed. All of the innovations, all of the improvements, all of the things that we have seen that have changed over the years ultimately have been designed to help us put the arrow in the target more consistently. You might notice, as Brother Steve read for us this morning from Psalm chapter 127, in observing verse number 3, that children are a gift or a heritage from the Lord, children are likened in verses 4 and 5 to arrows that God gives a warrior. As we think about the idea of arrows, understand arrows exist for the purpose of being directed toward a target. And as we think about that similar idea that is likened for us there in Psalm 127, 4 and 5, it occurs to us this morning that we have a target for our children. If children are like arrows, you and I, those of us who are parents, we have a specific target that we want to send that arrow toward. I'll suffice it to say that that target is heaven above, more than anything else in life. Regardless of what our children accomplish, regardless of what they do not accomplish, we want our children one day to go to heaven. Is that not correct? Is that not our ultimate goal from a standpoint of a believer in Jesus Christ? Is not our number one, our chief goal to make sure that our children reach heaven above? If you agree with me that that is the chief aim of those of us who have children, the fact that we want to see them in heaven one day, we're going to talk this morning about how we can maybe do that. We're going to talk about a lesson entitled Improving Our Aim. What are some things that we can do as we try to get our children, so to speak, from the bow to the target? what we can do in our lives as their parents to help them go to heaven. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, in which we'll take both of our ideas from this morning. Let's begin in verse number 4. Deuteronomy, the second telling of the law to the children of Israel, this time the second generation of the children of Israel, the sons, the daughters, and the grandchildren of those who had perished in the wilderness wanderings. Notice verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now notice, we're not, as we observed last Sunday morning, under the law of Moses, the law that was recounted for the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. We are under now the law of Jesus Christ, but realize with me that in the law of Moses, one of the things that was necessary, just like it is necessary today under the law of Christ, is for the message of God to go from one generation to the next. There has been and always will be a need for us to teach and to train our children. And notice just in the example given here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there are some things that might help us understand how can we instruct, how can we train our children. Verse number 7, teach. We need to be adamant that teaching is very important to our household. We need to make sure that we're teaching our children the things that God has given to us, but not just in a type of formal way. Notice verse number 7, you talk about those things when you are sitting in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. In other words, it seems as if verse 7 tells us that our teaching and the training of our children does not just take place in a formal way, but also in an informal way. Notice verse 8, you take these teachings with you wherever you go. Verse number 9, have visual reminders that will help stimulate the mind to remember the precepts of God. And so as we look at the model that was given by Moses to the children of Israel, he is saying without question, you need to teach and train your children. And so it is the case today that we need to teach and train our children. Something has occurred, I believe, in the world we live in today, at least listening to those who are in the education field. Those who are teachers among us and school administrators would tell us that more and more, in an increasing level it seems each passing year, society in the United States has turned over, it seems, child rearing and raising to teachers and to schools. And understand, if that is the culture we live in, that more and more parents are trying to delegate their duty to those that teach and train their children at schools, understand that is not what the Bible says regarding that idea. God says, parents, you are the first line of defense. God says, parents, it's your responsibility. And I'll hasten to say this morning that even though the church has a responsibility, yes, to teach, it is not the church's responsibility to teach and to train your children absent of your involvement. Realize with me, parents, there is a great need in our day and time. And that need is to teach and train our children. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the context was in regard to widows being supported by members of their home, by members of their family, rather than simply using the church's funds. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, children, those of you who have aging parents, those parents who are in need, especially those of you who have widowed parents, take care of your parents. That's the gist of 1 Timothy chapter 5, this section. But notice an idea inserted into the text by God. If anyone does not provide for relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Transfer this principle of taking care of people in your household. Parents, our children have a need. And that need, more than anything else, is that they need to be taught. They need to be trained in the ways of God. That's exactly what we find in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Where there we read, fathers, and that is the general term that means all fathers, do not provoke your children to anger or wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now notice there are two things there that are related to God's will. Bring children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the English Standard Version that I'm noting from this morning. Realize with me this morning, the two terms, discipline and instruction, are both negative and positive. Discipline is the idea of correction, the idea of reproof. It is the idea of correcting things that are wrong. Whereas instruction focuses more upon the positives. Instead of talking about the things not to do, we teach children the things that they are to do. And notice, there is a balance between the negative and the positive, even in the instruction of our children. We've mentioned from Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning about the importance of instruction, teaching our children. Let's focus on something I believe that today is very, very difficult. And it is the second idea there in Ephesians chapter 6, the idea of discipline. It's not easy to discipline our children. In our world today, we live in a day and age in which there is a belief that says if we discipline our children, then somehow or another we are going to wrong them. In some way or another, we're going to do something that's going to lead to some long-term harmful effects. In fact, there have been people who have written books and people who have parented their children by those types of guidelines. But understand, the idea of discipline has always been and will always be found in the pages of the Bible as God's will for parents. Parents, this is a responsibility that I have. This is a responsibility that you have. And that responsibility is given to us by God Almighty. Notice the words of Proverbs 23:12 and following. Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. I have to pause on verse 13 and remember, as my dad sits in the audience today, that truth of verse number 13. Sometimes it felt like I was going to, but understand, I didn't. But notice verse number 14. Why is discipline important? If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Not death there in the terms of the literal meaning of Sheol, but ultimately hell, damnation or torture. If you will discipline your children, you will save them from eternal torment in eternity. Folks, that is a high priority in our lives. At least it should be. As we think about the target that we are aiming our children towards, called heaven above, understand discipline plays a major role in that. If we want to make sure our children stay on the right path, that our children are headed to the target of heaven above, then it's not a question of, will I discipline? The question is, how will I discipline? Notice Proverbs 13 and verse number 24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. I don't imagine in this auditorium today, for each and every one of you who are parents with children at home, I don't imagine I would get a negative response if I ask you the question, do you love every one of your children? If you've got two children at home like I do, I imagine the answer would be absolutely. I love my children. If you have four at home, I imagine you'd say, I love every single one of them. I will follow that question this morning with this question. Do you discipline your children? Because the Bible tells us that if we do not discipline our children, then we do not in fact love them the way God wants us to love them. This morning, realize with me that if we are going to improve our aim, if we are going to take seriously the responsibility God places upon us, if we're going to get our children from this life to heaven above, we are going to have to teach and we're going to have to train. And that is going to have to be a great priority in our lives. Let me say this as well. I mentioned it a few moments earlier that the church is not responsible to spiritually educate your child with all of the things they need to know and to learn. But it is true that the church is supposed to teach and train and help you in that process. We have great opportunities, do we not? that exist twice every week at least, we have the opportunity to bring our children to Bible class, to put them in a setting where they learn more about God's Word and His will in their life. Moms and dads, if it is not the practice in your home to make sure that you are here for Bible classes on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, let me urge you with every fiber of my being this morning to say, make it a priority to be here. Because what is done in Bible classes here helps supplement what you are doing at home and will help them in invaluable ways. If we're going to improve our aim with our children, we're going to have to teach and train them and be diligent at that. But then, number two, we're going to have to provide them with a model. If you've still got your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter 6, even before the instruction was given, you teach your children, and these are the ways you do that. Notice what is put before. Notice verse number 5, you. Before your children come, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Verse 6, these words that I command you today shall be where? On your heart. Before parents, we are able to teach effectively. Before we are able to train effectively, we must be people who are guided by God's will. God's laws must be on our heart. We must know them. We must understand them. That doesn't mean that we're going to keep them in a perfect way. We'll all fail. We'll all make mistakes. But those things must be in our heart. They must be part of our lives. And we must have a love, a sincere, fervent love for God that surpasses anything else in our life. Notice, Moses, before he got to the children, said to the adults, to the parents, you must have God as the central focus of your life. Simply put, children are going to follow what is put before them. Agreed? They're going to follow those that they are around. And I realize, moms and dads, that this is a tremendous responsibility. In many ways, the way we are, the way we train, the way we instruct, the way we discipline, those ways that we are, that's the way our children many times will be. And as we think about the importance of that, realize that if we are not godly people, then the chances are extremely slim that we're going to raise godly children. If we do not have spiritual interest in our life, we're not going to raise children with spiritual interest. If our focus of our family is not God, the focus of our children will not become God unless something drastically changes in their life. Children need a model to look forward to. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." Two ideas for all Christians. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. That's the commission that Jesus gave to all of His believers. We're to be the salt of the earth wherever we go. We're to be the light of the world wherever we go. Would you agree with me, though, that before we ever reach the world with our salt and with our light, before we can ever become the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we must be the salt of the earth at home. And we must be the light of the world at home before we go further. If we save the whole world, but yet we lose our children, what have we gained? Certainly great dividends for the kingdom of God, but understand, God has given to us as that responsibility to make sure with our children that we send them to the target of heaven. I don't know about you, but I like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I like it because it shows us an example of how we can establish a legacy of faith in our families. There are many of you who are here today who are first-generation Christians. In other words, you have been converted to Christianity. You maybe came to a knowledge of the truth and obeyed the gospel because someone loved you enough to teach you the truth. There may be others of you who are here today, and I fall among that group, who grew up knowing nothing but the truth of God's Word. Grew up going to the Lord's church. Grew up attending the services of the Lord's church. Grew up going to Bible classes. And there's many of us, and I would be in that group, who come from a family who has a legacy of that. Regardless of which background you come from, whether you are a first-generation Christian or whether you come from a background of faithfulness to God, I want you to notice 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well, or also. Timothy came from a legacy of faith. His grandmother and his mother were listed as pillars of faith before him. And notice, it impacted his life greatly. I don't know about you today, but I want this to be able to be said about my children and about my grandchildren and my children's children and so forth and so on. Don't you want to create a legacy in your family of faithfulness to God? Don't you want children long in the future to look back at you as an ancestor and say, I've got a legacy of faithfulness to God? If we're going to have that, brothers and sisters in Christ, then we've got to be diligent. We've got to work on being the model that we should be in our lives. As we mention this idea, I want to make sure that we do note Luke chapter 17, verse number 1 and 2. Jesus said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. The focus of Jesus' words here are upon the means by which sin came into the lives of these children. Oh, it would be a horrible thing, would it not? It would be a tragedy in life for our children to learn how to sin because of us, because of our actions, because of our behavior. When God on the judgment day asked children, why did you do this? Why did you do that? For them to say on that day, well, it's what my mother and my father did. Oh, how that would hurt. How tragic that would be. Parents, I realize we'll never be perfect. I realize that we will never be flawless. Every parent group in the Bible that you ever see pictured, much written about them, they had flaws. They made mistakes. We are the same. We will make mistakes. But understand, it's consistency we're talking about this morning. What do we show consistently in our life as our model? Someone has written a poem that says, 'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable Jesus told. A grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought. And back to the flock, safe in the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and as earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger if they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever the sheep may stray. And when the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. And so with the sheep we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the sheep are lost, what terrible cost some of the lambs will have to pay. Parents, your faithfulness to God doesn't just affect you. It affects your children. And for those of you this morning who are not in the group of parents that I am addressing, that I'm talking to this morning, I want to encourage you to be a model for our children as well. We don't need models simply in the home. In mom and dad, we need that desperately. But we also need within the church good men and women that we can show our children to, that we can point to others and say, look at that brother, look at that sister. In Christ, you can see a person that you can model your life after. I want to encourage you this morning, no matter who you are, to be a model for all of our children to follow. And so we have the idea of teaching and training from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We also have the idea of living it in front of them, being a model before them. That will help us improve our aim. I would be remiss this morning if I did not address the arrows, if I did not talk to the children in our audience. Children, as I have talked to your parents this morning from God's Word about the responsibilities God has placed within their care, as I have talked this morning about the responsibilities they have regarding your raising, you're the one being raised. And it is not always easy to be in that position. But understand, we've all been there. I was at one point a child in your shoes. And many of the things that you deal with, many of the things that you face, I dealt with. Your parents were in that place as well. And they experienced many of the same things that you are going through. And it is not easy to be trained. It is not easy to be taught. But I want you to realize what Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, you don't obey your parents. Honor them, be submissive to them, because they are always right. You honor them and you are submissive to them because God says it is right. We have a responsibility, children, to honor and obey our parents. And I want you to notice that even under the law of Moses that this was quoted from, this was a command that came with promise. Notice that it may go well with you, verse 3, and that you may live long in the land. You see, going back to the days of the law of Moses, when children obeyed their parents, when they followed their parents' teachings and precepts and laws, they would have a productive life. Going back in the Bible to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5, I want you to listen to what is said regarding children who will not listen, who will not accept the training of their parents. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Children, do you want to be wise? If you want to be wise, listen to what your parents are telling you. Listen to the training that they are trying to instill within you and accept that. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, carries it a little bit further. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Young people, this is what is said in the Old Testament regarding those who would not heed the instruction of their parents. Those who would say, I'm going to do what I want to do instead of what my parents want me to do. Young people, children, your parents are looking at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. As they parent you today, they are looking at the future. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. But notice verse 6. In that context, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what the goal of everything your parents' children are doing is for you. They want you to stay faithful to the Lord all of your life. They don't want you to just be faithful while you are at home. They want you to be faithful once you leave their home and establish your own, have your own children. They want you to go to heaven. And notice, if you've got godly parents, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 says, there will come a day that you will respect them. That does not mean that you will always appreciate the pain you had to go through. That does not always mean that you will look back in those times with great fondness. But it does mean that one day in your life, because of what you have been taught and what you have received as training, you will look back and you will say to your parents, thank you for what you did for me. It's hard to see that, children, right now. But the Bible tells us that day will come. Notice, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. I appreciate my mom and dad because they disciplined me, because they taught me. It came a number of years after the fact to where I could say that. But children, this will be you. And so as you think about the training, the teaching that your parents do with you, children, receive it, accept it, and let it mold and guide your life. This morning, our goal, ultimately, is to hit the bullseye of the target. When we think about our lives, individually as families, when we think about the lives of each family in this congregation, however many children we have, we all want them to be in the bullseye on the day of judgment. We want them to be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want Jesus to have been pleased with them. One being lost, that's too many. We want all to be saved. And so as we think about how we can improve our aim, number one, let's teach, let's train. Let's be diligent about that, parents. Number two, let's set a model before our children that they can follow. And children, in response to that, let's be willing to receive that teaching and that encouragement. This morning, as we think about what God's Word tells us, I realize that there are many people in the world that would disagree with much of what I've said this morning and much of what God's Word says this morning. And as we think about what it is we will be doing if we ignore God's teachings in our life regarding children, I'll put up a picture for you. You know, I mentioned in the first part of the lesson all of the innovations that people have come up with to help people improve their accuracy. One thing that has not ever been sold on a large scale to improve the accuracy of those in the archery sport is a blindfold. Why? Because when you strap on a blindfold, you do not know where in the world you are aiming. It is possible by luck that you may hit the target, but more than likely you will miss. Parents, children, if we ignore what God's Word says regarding these relationships, then it is akin to putting on a blindfold and trying to shoot an arrow at a target. The chances of us hitting that target is very, very slim. And so parents, I plead with you, I ask for you to consider what God's Word says. Give attention to it, put it into practice in your life. Children, be serious about accepting the training that your parents are giving you. When that occurs, then folks, we're going to reach that target. And we're going to have children, Lord willing, that will one day be bound for heaven. This morning it may be that you are here, and maybe that you are a child of God, and maybe there are some things in your life that are amiss. Whether you're a parent, whether you're not, whether you're a grandparent or not, whether you're a child or someone else, it may be that you are a Christian, but you today are found to be unfaithful in the sight of God. If that's the case today, let us pray with you and for you to God Almighty that your sins will be forgiven, and repent this morning of your sins, and let us help you as you make those changes in life. But maybe you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. If that's the case this morning, we bid you to come, and come right now while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.